It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Happy Veterans Day 2016 to all of you guys out there who served us so faithfully in the Army and the Marines and the Coast Guard and the Navy and the Air Force. I leave anybody out. Listen, we are so grateful to you, and this really is a good day because I think that our armed forces are going to be built up. I'm going to give you Donald Trump's priorities that he's laid out as the president-elect of the United States. But this is a good day for veterans around the world. Serving us, even those overseas right now. Can you imagine how their hearts have been encouraged by this election result? And so we say thank you to each and every one of you for serving, even in such a difficult time. And we support you and love you. All right, Sandy Rios in the morning with you on this Veterans Day. Let me just say that lots of things have happened. You know that the President of the United States, Barack Obama, welcomed the president-elect, Donald Trump, and his wife into the White House yesterday. I think Garrett Tenney did a good report on this, so let's listen.
Exciting week, and it'll be an exciting next couple of months. There is a lot of work to do over the next 2 months before President-elect Donald Trump takes office. And yesterday, the current president indicated his team was fully ready to help. It was certainly an interesting sight to see, though. Throughout the campaign, both men launched highly personal attacks on the other. But yesterday, in their first personal meeting, it was a very different dynamic. Mr. Trump called the meeting a great honor. Mr. Obama said they had an excellent and wide-ranging discussion. Following that meeting, which went on for more than double the expected 15 to 30 minutes, both men said they look forward to working together, both now and in the future.
Most of all, I want to emphasize to you, Ms. President-elect, that we now are going to want to do everything we can to help you succeed, because if you succeed, then the country succeeds.
We really, we discussed a lot of different situations, some wonderful and some difficulties. I very much look forward to dealing with the president in the future, including counsel.
First Lady Michelle Obama also took some time with the incoming First Lady Melania Trump to tour the White House and, as you mentioned, for a cup of tea. The president-elect then headed over to Capitol Hill, where he met with House Speaker Paul Ryan to discuss what the agenda will be for the incoming GOP leadership. Mr. Trump said he'll have four items at the top of his list: lowering taxes, jobs, immigration, and fixing health care. Last night on Special Report, Paul Ryan said following their meeting, he is extremely excited about the future of the party.
We had a great working lunch. The president-elect, the first lady, incoming first lady, and the vice president-elect. Great working lunch. Look, I can tell you what I got out of Donald Trump today is this is a man of action. He is ready to get working. We're already talking about, you know, how to execute plans, how to get the transition working, how to make 2017 a success for the American people that just asked him to be president of the United States.
And late yesterday, we also learned that Mr. Trump received a phone call from former President Bill Clinton, who congratulated Trump on his win and wished him well. The difference a few days can make. Heather and Abby.
All right. So that, again, was Garrett Tenney on Fox and Friends First this morning. So sounds really nice, doesn't it? It's all very nice. Mrs. Clinton was so nice in her concession speech Wednesday after she failed to show up. For hours when her supporters were on the floor in a heap on Tuesday night, she couldn't go and thank them. She waited till Wednesday morning, then she came out and she sounded so sweet, you know? And then, of course, the president of the United States. Well, we're going to hope that, you know, nothing, we want him nothing, we wish him nothing but success, which was, of course, a direct hit at Rush Limbaugh. I said that yesterday because Rush famously said after Barack Obama was elected that he hoped he failed. He was, of course, talking about his policies. You know, I hoped he failed, too, because I knew what he was going to do. And I would argue he absolutely has succeeded. So there was a lot of theater going on yesterday. And so, you say, well, why, how could I say, look at that, everybody's being so nice. Look, ladies and gentlemen, there is a lot at stake. Oh, by the way, Bill Clinton called too. Bill Clinton called to congratulate Donald Trump. I wonder why. You suppose it might have something to do with all of these investigations that are continuing into the Clinton Foundation? You think it might have anything to do with the fact that the Clinton name has been so sullied by the email, the lies, the deceit, the selling of the nation to the Clinton Foundation, selling of influence, the enriching of themselves? You think maybe they might have something to rehabilitate because, you know, they really have ruined themselves. But look how quickly Americans forget. Mrs. Clinton was so nice Wednesday. All it took was just one little short statement. Listen, they are working us. That's all I can say. They are working us. So just know that. You know, I get a Facebook message from Tim. He says, Sandy, why are you so cynical about the conciliatory concession speeches by Clinton and Obama? Can they do nothing right in your eyes? Previously, I've heard you express doubt that Obama would willingly turn over power at all. I think you should be apologizing for your error rather than dismissing these gestures. Your opponents seem to have more respect for our democracy than you do. All right, Tim, take that challenge and I'll respond to you. Have you ever had, there are a lot of ways to look at this. I'll start with this one. Ever had an alcoholic father who promised he'd be home by 10, or he'd be home for dinner, or he'd be there to see your baseball game? And he said that like 5 million times, but he didn't show up, but he was so charming you believed him. Ever have an unfaithful spouse, chronically unfaithful, who promises this time is going to be the last, and then it isn't? Do you ever have a drug-addicted teen who lies to you and says, I'll never do this again, I promise, you know, I've stopped taking whatever chemical it is, and then just goes right back at it, steals from your purse? You know, does that mean you don't believe in marriage because you want to hold your spouse accountable? Does it mean you don't believe or respect your dad because you stop believing him? Does it mean that you don't respect your teen or your relationship with your child just because you don't believe them when they say they're never going to do that again? You know, the Bible says that we know a tree by its fruit. And so until I see a very different fruit come from Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, then I'm not going to believe words and smiles, because there is something to be gained by their words and smiles. So I'm going to be smart about this and not gullible. And so let's see what's happening. Well, while they're speaking all these nice things, Black Lives Matter, who was scheduled to be on stage with Mrs. Clinton at her acceptance speech on Tuesday night, they were going to be on stage with her, are now out in the streets rioting. And let's see, MoveOn.org, which is funded and operated by George Soros, who was Mrs. Clinton's largest funder, sent out an email to gin up the riots in the street. This is the email. This is a disaster. We fought our hearts out to avert this reality, but now it's here. The new president-elect and many of his most prominent supporters have targeted, demeaned, and threatened millions of us and millions of our friends and family and loved ones. We are entering an era of profound and unprecedented challenge, a time of danger for our communities. And people on the front lines facing hate, including Latinos, women, immigrants, refugees, Black people, Muslims, LGBT Americans, and so many others. We mean to make it clear we will continue to stand together. And so they have, around the country, rioting last night in Oregon, doing terrible damage. In fact, let's hear James Rosen's report about that.
Protesters in close to a dozen American cities have hanged and burned Donald Trump in effigy, cursed him as a Nazi, and otherwise rejected his victory with a Not My President fury that far exceeds the muted displays of disappointment by Barack Obama's critics 8 years ago.
Today I woke up fearful for my family, my life, my rights. as a woman.
The White House urged those Americans inclined to protest to do so nonviolently.
We're Democrats and Republicans, but we're Americans and patriots first.
Ever since protesters assaulted Richard Nixon's inaugural motorcade in 1969, the far left and even some mainstream liberals have heralded every new Republican president as the dawn of a new fascism. As if on cue, City University of New York journalism professor Jeff Jarvis tweeted, "My profession failed to inform the public about the fascist they are electing."
This is what it feels like when America is made great again. I was wondering, and I was really hoping it would feel better, because this sucks.
Some Republican presidents-elect, like Nixon, who managed only a plurality in the three-way race of 68, or George W. Bush, who lost the popular vote in 2000, have been further branded as illegitimate occupants of the Oval Office.
This is very different. There is a visceral dislike and distrust toward Donald Trump that is reflected in a lot of the headlines and commentary that we're seeing today.
If Donald Trump harbors any concerns about perceptions of his legitimacy, he might look to the first words spoken by Mr. Nixon's successor, Gerald Ford, the only president never elected to that job or the vice presidency.
My fellow Americans, the oath that I have taken is the same oath that was taken by George Washington and by every president under the Constitution.
What goes around comes around to some extent. At 11:30 p.m. on election night 2012, one Donald J. Trump tweeted, "We can't let this happen. We should march on Washington and stop this travesty." Brett?
You know, one of the sweet ironies for me is there's discussion of Sheriff David Clark from Milwaukee becoming the Director of Homeland Security. Would you not love that? Oh, my goodness, I would love that. But here's the point. While Mr. Josh Earnest says we're all Americans, how many of the protesters in the street, the college students, are listening to Josh Earnest? What they're listening to are the encouragements from MoveOn.org, courtesy of George Soros, Mrs. Clinton's campaign chairman, encouraging people to go out in the streets and riot, and Black Lives Matter, who are joined with her at the hip and with the president of the United States. So they could say all the nice things they want. But they know that their minions are carrying out exactly what they want. They want to divide and undermine. There is no way they want Donald Trump to lead this country without being terribly damaged. They want to pull and create dissent. You know, a lot of the people, a lot of the voices you heard, we're going to play a couple of clips later, they don't really know what's going on. They're young people. They've been misled and misguided and lied to. And they truly are afraid. And so the left is playing on this fear. Now, there are other people to consider, because there are the establishment Republicans and the Never Trumpers. And one of them was on with Brett Baer last night, Paul Ryan. This is interesting. Let's listen.
Right before the election, I had an interview with Donald Trump and Mike Pence, and I asked him about whether he was going to work with you. Here's what he said.
I will work with Paul Ryan. I'm very disappointed in leadership, because I really believe we'd be winning by a lot. That we have to fight against Republicans is absolutely insane and ridiculous. So I'm very disappointed, but I will work with everybody. I'm not just talking about Paul Ryan. I'll get things through.
So he was disappointed. And did he express that today?
No, not at all. Look, the past is the past. And more importantly, look at how we closed the campaign. You saw the guy sitting next to him, Mike Pence. Mike Pence and I did a big rally in Wisconsin the Saturday before the election, saying everybody come out and vote for Donald Trump, for Mike Pence, for Ron Johnson, who won re-election. For the first time since 1984, our 10 electoral votes in Wisconsin went Republican, went for Donald Trump. We re-elected our Senator Ron Johnson, who beat Russ Feingold. We had a great year in America, but in Wisconsin. We closed the campaign by calling for Republican unity, and that is what we now have going forward.
You know, I think Paul Ryan is nervous, and I think he probably should be. The Congress is coming back in session on Monday afternoon, and there will be the consideration of his leadership. There will be two different ways to reinstall Ryan as Speaker of the House, and I'm not sure what's going to happen with that, to be honest with you. I'm going to play a few more clips with Paul Ryan. I thought he was very nervous last night in his interview and interaction with Brett Baer. I thought Brett was not really down with Paul Ryan. That's my editorial remark. And I'll come back with a little bit more of that. Plus, your comments. Amazing, the things that you have sent me this week. We'll be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer. stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
The church in America is in a state of spiritual emergency. Though we have access to more resources and biblical teaching than at any time in history, we are not characterized by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Every time in Scripture, when God's people cried out in humble, desperate, repentant oneness, He responded in favor of their prayers. Every time. Today, across our nation, God is waking up believers from our slumber to earnestly pray for revival in brokenness, humility, and repentance. Since only Christ can save, heal, and revive, let's join together to turn from every sin God reveals to us, pray with urgency for spiritual recovery and awakening, and unite with other believers in spreading the hope of Christ-centered revival.
Unite with others for one night, one hope, one cry. From Lake Point Champion Center in Cartersville, Georgia, on Sunday, November 20th at 5 Central, on American Family Radio and OneCry.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. The other day, one of my listeners sent me a television commercial for a supermarket chain, Food City. They sell Hamburger Helper and Doritos to folks in four southern states. But Food City's commercial had nothing to do with selling groceries. It was all about Veterans Day. And folks, it's mighty powerful.
It's God, it's country, it's family, and then it's Food City. All in one.
That's Kevin Stafford from Food City. You can watch the commercial at toddstarnes.com. No words, just images. And if you aren't crying at the end, well, by golly, you're just not right with the Lord. We don't have a Food City in Brooklyn, but I wish we did because they love America. Listen to what they do whenever they open a new store.
We open up with a prayer. Then we do the pledge to our flag. We sing the national anthem with the schools, and then the servicemen or women do the flag raising.
Sounds to me like a mighty fine place to buy your groceries. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, you mentioned immigration. You're not on the same page on immigration, at least on the campaign
trail. I don't really agree with that. We are on the same page on securing the border. And that border security first is what President-elect Trump is talking about. And that's something we all totally agree with.
And the deportation force.
Well, I think right now we want to secure the border. And that is really the first priority.
Yeah, you know what? I seem to remember Paul Ryan going after Donald Trump when he said that we need to halt Muslim immigration until we know what we're doing. Remember that? Paul Ryan was so embarrassed. He totally denounced that. I also remember Paul Ryan going around the country and with Luis Gutierrez, the socialist leftist, advocating for, I hate to use the word immigration reform because that's way too mild. What Paul Ryan really wants is unlimited immigration. To help international corporations. That's really who he's tied with. And that cannot be forgotten. And by the way, I have to tell you that I'm not sure what's going to happen with Paul Ryan. I know there's going to be a battle about it. I know that he is close to Mike Pence. I know that they pulled Mike McCall, I'm not a fan. I am not a fan. They're actually talking about Mike McCall as you know, I hesitate to say this because I believe I read Secretary of Defense, but some position, which others are saying, are you kidding me? Mike McCall, who works with the Muslim Brotherhood in Texas, I've talked to you about how bad he is on the countering violent extremism. There is no way in God's green earth that a Mike McCall should be serving in a Trump administration, given his past and his fecklessness in regard to this. And I would also add Mike Rogers is in there, too. Mike Rogers' wife was one of the, I think she was the CEO of the, I believe it was the Blue Mountain Group, some group connected and responsible ultimately for the appointment of those guards at Benghazi who ended up turning on the ambassador and helping with that violent night in Benghazi. That's been quieted, but I'm telling you that's the truth. And that's why Mike Rogers, from my perspective, no one's told me any differently from the inside story. That's why he stepped down from Congress, because that is, and that's probably why John Boehner didn't pursue, you know, resisted a Benghazi committee for months and months and months and months. Because Mike Rogers' wife was involved in that in a bad way. And I'm not saying she did that on purpose. I'm saying that she recklessly oversaw a company that ultimately appointed those guards who were Islamists who turned on the ambassador when the ambassador was begging for security, begging for it multiple times to Mrs. Clinton. Anyway, that's just a sidebar, but this is what you need to know from that. The story is that the Trump team is now, there's a division. Some of them, like Steve Bannon, who stepped aside from Breitbart to go work for Trump as the head of his campaign, don't want Paul Ryan and others who were never Trumpers to have any part of the Trump administration. I was told in a meeting this week that the Bush people are coming out of the woodwork wanting jobs in various agencies, and that there's great resistance to that. Because we all know that the Bushes did nothing, in fact, did everything they could to stop Donald Trump. And I'm not saying I don't blame them for not being his cheerleader, given what he did to Jeb. But for them to align themselves with Mrs. Clinton was a little bridge too far. A little bridge was a big bridge too far. And so there are lots of things playing out here. I heard Carl Cameron last night on Fox saying something. In fact, let's play the clip. It's clip 7. This is what Carl was telling Brett Baer about the Trump transition team. Let's listen.
But Trump's transition is off to a pretty chaotic start. He barely took part during the race, and half the transition staff was retasked to campaign organizing several weeks ago because they thought they were going to lose. They have a ton of catching up to do, Brett.
Ross Priebus obviously was in the foxhole from the beginning, so is he leading the way, Chief of Staff?
He seems to be the likely pick for Chief of Staff. A tremendous victory that he played a big part in with the RNC's planning literally for the last 8 years that he was the chairman of the party. A lot of the other names that have been thrown out there may get rotated. They may get moved around. Some of them will probably not get picked because they've got 4,500 positions to fill, 70 days to do it, and they're pretty much starting from scratch today.
You know what? That's not true. I can tell you that is not true. I know firsthand that's not true. You know, I told you all this time that Carl is not, every time he reported on Trump, it was negative. It was the worst spin. It was the worst pictures, the worst sound clips. It wasn't hard to figure out that Carl was probably a never-Trumper. I don't think he couldn't say that publicly. He's supposed to be a journalist. But that is not true. The transition team has been working. I know a lot of those people personally. And they've been working steadily for months. So that's just not true, Carl. I don't know where you're getting your information, but I'm going on record as telling you that is not true. There are some wonderful people behind the scenes who are plugging away, and some of them, their names will surface, and I'm sure they will be nominees themselves. So stay tuned. And, of course, there is a war between the establishment Republicans and the Trump supporters, because a lot of Republicans would not come out in support of Donald Trump. Some of them declared themselves never Trumpers, and now, you know, many of them are, you know, trying now to get jobs. And so it's going to be interesting. There's going to be a war. And you know what? There needs to be. There needs to be. There needs to be, you know, sort of a kumbaya and everybody coming together in a fake alliance. When it's kind of like then you see people's true colors. If they really take power, then they promote their own policies. If they're not the policies of the new president, they shouldn't be serving. And by the way, just to give you I won't spend much time on this, but the transition website for the Trump team has declared the priorities for them, and they are American security, including defense and national security, immigration reform and building the wall, energy independence, getting America back to work again, including tax reform, regulatory reform, trade reform, education, transportation, infrastructure, financial services reform, government for the people, including health care reform, obviously repealing and replacing Obamacare, Veterans Administration reform, and protecting Americans' constitutional rights. All right, so that gives you a headline of what they are thinking about. Let me just share a couple of quick email with you. And then we're going to go to the phones. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. This is okay, just for some fun here and some variety. This is from Ryan. He says, first time listen this morning. Typically pass on religious type radio, but your show is great. You have religion and common sense. Ryan, that's a great compliment. That's a great compliment. Thank you for listening. You know, when I was in Chicago, I had so many people listening from all different walks of life and all different viewpoints and backgrounds, and certainly not all of them were Christians. The audience at American Family Radio is by and large evangelical Christians, some Catholics and some Mormons, but there are a few smatterings of non-believers. And so I welcome you, whatever your affiliation, because we should be able. I always feel that if we can't make the case for our convictions on things, then we shouldn't hold them. If you can't defend your position on something, you shouldn't hold it. And so come, let us reason together. So I'm glad you're listening. That's a great compliment. This is from Joyce, who is 71 years old. She says, I've heard from people today that think Trump will take their freedom from them. There seems to be great fear with people who are not correctly informed. I've lived 71 years, and the only president that took freedom and choice away was Obama. The Clintons were on the same path, and today I join you in prayer to thank God that the Clinton machine was stopped, praying that God will bring healing to the people who are so affected with fear because of the slander and lies they have spread. Linda has a different viewpoint. This is one of the saddest, most ill-informed posts I've read in a long time. I disagree with your opinions, which are stated as fact. While Secretary Clinton has weaknesses, you have chosen to ignore the vileness, vulgarity, and other sad characteristics of Mr. Trump, our new president-elect. What makes me so sad is your apparent disregard for President Obama, one of the very best modern-day presidents. I thank God for him and his amazing dedication. And then Tammy writes out and said, isn't it awesome that we live in a country so free we can freely show our like or dislike about what's going on in our government and the way people around us think? And then she goes on to say, that's the kind of dialogue that should be taking place. And so stand and defend your position, especially those of you that are younger who are not accustomed to arguing your position. You're used to hearing one side. And so it's time to kind of put on your big boy pants and learn to discern and make your way through some of the things you've been taught. It's amazing how colleges are responding. I didn't even get into that, and I don't think I'm going to have time, but tears and crying, it's the end of the world, and handing out chocolate and comfort, asking for time off for emotional distress and counseling. I mean, it's unbelievable the generation that we have raised. What is the matter with us as parents? What is the matter with us that we should raise kids like this? So it's time to change that. Our kids have to, again, put on their big boy pants and learn to hold their opinions with reason and be able to defend them with opposite viewpoints peacefully. All right, so this is from Larry. He said, Hillary, your basket of deplorables put Trump in. And the irony is that the protesters will benefit from a Trump presidency. Lower taxes, more jobs, money flow, rule of law, reduce illegal immigration, and they will benefit. Thank you, Larry. And this is from Brooklyn. She says, even though I'm only 11 years old, I have a prayer request. Me and my grandma listen to your channel all the time. And her husband died 2 years ago in a car accident, and it's really bringing her down. And I'm getting bullied by two girls at school, so could you please pray for us? And I'm going to pray right now, okay? Father, I do pray that you be with Brooklyn, who took the time to intercede for her grandma, who she loves so much. And I pray that you would bring supernatural comfort to that family, as only you can do, Lord. The completion of her grief in a healthy way, so that she can be restored to love and care and happiness again. And Lord, I just pray for little Brooklyn, that you would be with her, because I'm sure she feels alone right now with her grandma not being able to support her because of her own grief. and give her strength as she goes to school and faces the unkindness, the evil, really. Kids can be so mean. Give her strength, Father, and help her feel your presence and to stay steady in the face of all that and not lose sight of the fact that she's a child of the King, a child of the King. And I ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brooklyn, on a practical note, you know, let me just say, you know, when I guess before they started making a big deal about bullies, I surely had my share of it. When I was a kid, I became a Christian when I was 9, and it radically changed my life. And I got a lot of, I had a lot of blowback from that. Things that really hurt my feelings in the neighborhood. I'd come over and start to play, and they'd say, "Oh, here comes the preacher," which doesn't sound bad, but it really hurt me, and a lot of rejection. And I remember my mother just, she made me go out there. In fact, there was one kid who was really mean and she made me fight him. I didn't want to, I was much more tender. But she made me fight back to protect myself. And I'm not saying you should pick a fight, but Brooklyn, it doesn't matter what people think about you. You have to understand people are never going to love you. Not everybody. Some will and some won't. And some will hate you, especially if you have an opinion, especially if it's a spiritual battle. So don't even expect that. Just make sure that you are living your life in a way that you don't need to be ashamed. Ask God to help you to live as a righteous little 11-year-old. And then just take what comes. And remember that all of God's people have suffered, you know, the bullying, the whatever. I even hate that word now. They've made so much of it. But there's always ridicule and derision. And just hold your head high, sweetheart. You know, be the best, to be the very best person you can be. And I also would say there are certain occasions where people who are being so unkind to you, you could show them great kindness in return, and you'd be surprised at how many you can win. Just live your life in such a way to disprove what they're saying. And so that's my advice to you. And so those of you that heard that, if you would like to continue in private prayers for them, please do. And for her grandmother, it's a terrible loss, and grief is something you can't rush. But to Grandma, I'm encouraging you to, for your granddaughter's sake, you hear her cry. And so ask God to help you heal in a healthy way so that you can once again love her and support her the way she needs you. I know you want to. I just don't doubt that. And that's not meant to be a thing of guilt. It's to give you hope. God can do that. And so we'll pray for that. This is this is from Lucas. He said, this is really nice, and I'm going to read it. He said, "Congratulations, Sandy. I'm sure you don't see it this way, but you and others at AFR fought the good fight and realized this great outcome. Your influence on your show educated, influenced, and motivated so many evangelicals that went to the polls and gave us President Trump or rejected Hillary Clinton. You also helped people realize that we needed to maintain down the ticket as well. So congratulations again." And so then he says, "We love you out here. Godspeed, Sandy." That was very sweet, Lucas. And I don't often read those cheerleading ones but I do appreciate that. And I have to say, you know, this is a time when I'm just thanking God, really. Just it is an encouragement to plug away every day and to try to help people reason through these difficult times. And to have a reprieve and an answer to prayer is a great blessing. And so thank you, Lucas, and thank you to all of you. Now, this is from Mike. Great observation. He said, "Concerning Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and other leftists, their speeches reminded me of Psalm 55:21. His speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords." And that's from the NASB, Psalm 55:21. And Mike, that's, wow, says it. His speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was war. And that's exactly what I think we see happening. So be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Going to go back to the phone lines in just a second. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. Thank you to all of you veterans out there. God bless you. It's a new day. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of 6, and he works as a guide in Alaska. and he goes to the doctor. True story. He goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
You'll want to take part in the Combined Federal Campaign. If you're a federal or a state employee, the Combined Federal Campaign lets you designate charitable giving to an organization of your choice. And you can donate to the American Family Association, CFC number 12037. We're one of the few organizations on the list who stand for biblical family values. Help the AFA when you fill out your Combined Federal Campaign form and designate number 12037.
With the most historic election now history, we must look to the future. But is there a proven plan guaranteed to renew our nation if implemented? The answer is yes. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, host of the Stand in the Gap weekend program, heard every Sunday here on this station at 6 p.m. Central Time. Do you know that our founding pastors taught the principles of a plan for a blessed culture, that our founding fathers implemented that plan, and that God blessed that plan? Join me this Sunday at 6 p.m. Central Time as I share God's plan for a blessed culture.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber, president, co-founder of 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope was meant to be a one-time trip to Bay St. Louis, Waveland, Mississippi, after Hurricane Katrina, and then God got involved. And since then, we have been to 9 different states, rebuilt 1,700 homes, and it's all because we love Jesus. God tells us to love Him and love others, and that's what we do, either through 8 Days of Hope or a new ministry called Hope Reigns. Hope Reigns goes immediately after disaster, a tornado, a flood, a fire, a snowstorm. But what we noticed with disasters is right after disaster, there's so many ministry opportunities. We've already been to New York, Illinois, Tennessee, Texas. So if someone's interested in 8 Days of Hope or Hope Reigns, the best place to go is our website, 8daysofhope.com. And even though we might not have an event planned the day you go to the website, if you give us your email address on our website, we'll be able to contact you about future events.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The first critique of President-elect Donald Trump is now in. Reportedly, he's unable to recruit experienced foreign policy and national security professionals because they refuse to serve under him. My own experience in the Reagan administration tells me that the unwillingness of such folks to work in a Trump administration may be the best thing that could happen to our government. Neither the president-elect nor the country can afford the sorts of fratricidal conflicts that inevitably and persistently arise when large numbers of officials, rather than faithfully execute directions from the commander-in-chief, oppose and subvert the president's policies from the inside. Fortunately, there are plenty of other Americans, many with relevant experience in the armed forces, the intelligence community, law enforcement, and the business sector, who can be counted upon to answer the call of duty. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
If we have 4 years of Trump, that doesn't mean we don't have a voice. That doesn't mean we cannot stand together. We are smart. We are solid. And we are...
Very mad. And just... disappointed. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to go tell my family abroad. I'm supposed to go tell, like, younger kids, like, how the bully's not supposed to win. I don't know. It's like a dream.
I don't want people to love each other any less because of this.
I don't want people to like blame each other as we like sink into what I think is going to be a really tough 4 years. I want us to understand that like we're in this together, like not in a schmaltzy way of like across identities, but like we're all in this together.
I just want everyone to look around because we are not alone. Look at all of these people that got out of bed, got out of their lounges, got out of their couches to go stand with people.
Hillary ran one of the worst elections I've ever
right,
seen in
so
my entire
okay.
life.
All right, so that's okay. That's Columbia University students. What you didn't hear was them chanting blank Donald Trump over and over again and screaming. Yeah, so that's your colleges and universities. And listen, parents, when you think about sending your kids, you know, you need to stop sending them to bad places, being so proud that they got accepted that you turned a blind eye. It is ruining our children. You need to pay attention. It matters where you send your kids. And so it's a tough decision, but we really are at a crossroads. And I think we need to take back our universities too. But all right, I need to go to the phone lines. We need more time this morning. All right, I'm going to go to the phones. Let's go to Hope, Arkansas, of all places to start. Hey, Steve, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Sandy.
Speaking of the Clintons.
I work with the Tea Party, by the way, and so I'm proud of Donald Trump. I sure am, and I think it was. Well, I tell you what, our church has a 24-hour prayer meeting. We have 24-hour fasting and prayer, you know, and so I just think it was an answer to prayer.
I did too. You heard me say that. Yes. Okay. Any other comments this morning?
The comment was, let's see now, the truth refutes error. William Wilberforce, before he dismantled slavery, every day from Hyde Park to the Parliament, he would recite to himself, he would quote the 119th Psalm. So the challenge is there. Be entrenched with God's truth, have the light of God, and you will not fall for the counterfeit. And what better way to do it than to do the same thing that William Wilberforce did?
Wow, great words, Steve. Love it. Thank you. You know, I need to say this because the thing that I'm excited about, to be really clear, is Trump's policies. I am not delusional enough to think that he's not going to do something or say something that I'm going to wish he hadn't done or said. There'll probably be a lot of that. Well, there was a lot of that in his past, and there may be a lot of that in his future. But if he does what he says he's going to do, if he appoints Sheriff David Clark to Homeland Security, are you kidding me? Replacing Jay Johnson? If he cleans out that Pentagon of those politically motivated generals who've put our soldiers and sailors and airmen at risk, I will be thrilled. And there's a long list. So this is why I'm excited, just to be clear. All right, let's go to John in Michigan. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good. What's your comment, John?
My comment is I told the person who answered the phone, I told her when I was a kid, I didn't get what I wanted. I got upset. Then I went on a camp at time. Well, all kids out on the streets of these big cities during this last, they didn't get what they wanted. They got frustrated about it because they didn't get the candy bars what they wanted. So they went on a riot. And my belief, from my heart, and my mind, Andy, I got punished when I was a kid when I did those things. Now, these kids, I call, should be put in jail, and all the charges should be destroying the peace, interrupting the peace. I'll put them in jail for all of it and put fine on the parents.
Yeah.
Let the parents pay the fine, all the damage these kids been doing.
I like that idea, John. I totally like that idea. Thank you. And I think that there's no question about it. And sanity must be restored. And our kids, it'll be the best thing we could do. if there is a retribution and a judgment, punishment for their out-of-control behavior. We need to help them grow up and fast because they are our future. And the only way they're going to do that is punishment. I still remember my mother. I was telling someone this. When my mother did not spare the rod, shall I say? I remember she used to get mad if I'd be home. We used to go out and play for hours, and we weren't near home. And I would famously forget what time it was, and I would look up at the sky, and I'd realize I could tell by looking that it was late. And my mother would be furious. We had dinner every night at the same time, and she worked hard to cook it. So I'd run home, and there was this long, you know, street down to the, I could see the front of our house. I see my mother walking into the front yard, pulling a branch off the tree and making a switch, and then sitting there slapping it against her thigh, waiting for me, who I'm running home to a switch. You know, this was my mother. I mean, many of us were raised that way. We actually learned to obey. We followed the rules and we honored our parents. It didn't mean we couldn't think and have intellectual thoughts or disagreements, but we surely did obey authority and have respect. And that must be brought back into the culture. Okay, let's go to Kevin in Virginia. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, my hero.
oh, boy.
I tell you, the one big problem about waiting online to talk to you is you just stack up thoughts as you hear them. But I just want to go through three really quick, and I'm not going to pontificate. One is I did agree with you in prayer for Brooklyn, and I prayed that God would supernaturally protect her physically and mentally. I just want to get that out of the way, and I will keep praying for her. The other one is, I was scared to death yesterday. Well, just shocked when Trump said he was going to use Barack Obama for advice in the future. If he does that, he's going to have some serious issues. And the third thing is, and it's really funny, if you go back and listen to that soundbite that you played just before you went back on the air, notice what the girl says, that all these people got out of bed and got off their couches, and not one of them came home from work or got out of work.
It's true.
You know,
it's all true.
It's like they stopped sucking their lollipops, changed their diapers, and came out and rioted or whatever they did. They did the same thing in Richmond, but I think they kind of quelled that pretty quickly. But these people, you know, when we lost two times in 8 years, no, there weren't any people running around burning down buildings and doing all that kind of stuff. And the other thing is, if you watch CNN, or I think it was MSNBC, I accidentally got on last night, and the entire time they were talking about Trump, they played a video of a group of people screaming Black Lives Matter. I mean, and it was equal to the volume of the commentator, that they just constantly let these people chant Black Lives Matter. I mean, it's just disgusting.
Well, Kevin, I appreciate you mentioning that, because that sort of undergirds the point I was trying to make earlier. We know that CNN was one of the many, 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 many outlets colluding with the Clinton campaign to help Mrs. Clinton win, you know, getting questions to her about debates and town halls, and also, you know, having dinner at John Podesta's house and to strategize how she could win, etc. Okay, so here they are doing what they're doing. You think they... Listen, while Mrs. Clinton is saying, well, Donald Trump is now the president and we should, it is all kabuki theater. And so we must not trust them ever unless they have an incredible life change and we see fruits from them. They are not to be trusted. And I'm with you. I know that there are people around Donald Trump that are going to be saying, are you kidding me? Do not listen to them. Now, whether he'll listen to them, we'll see. But Kevin, thank you. Good call. Interesting. Okay, let's go to Victoria in West Virginia. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning. I wanted to say, besides saying thank you so much for your show and all that you do, I wanted to ask about the Electoral College, because it's been a long time since I've been in school, and so I was wondering if you could help me to understand it better. And I also want to let you know that my daughter turned 18 the end of August, and she was so excited to vote. She called me and said, I voted. So I just wanted you to know, and her main cause was because of Hillary Clinton's stance on abortion. and she cried when she found out what partial birth abortion was. And so I just wanted you to know that the younger generation,
there are some good ones, right? There are some good ones.
Absolutely.
All right, Victoria, thank you. And listen, on the Electoral College, I can't spend a lot of time on that right now, but let me just say it was a system devised to make sure that smaller states did not, little states would have had no voice whatsoever in a popular vote. So the Electoral College was devised so that they would have equal proportionate voice with the larger states. So that was the reason behind it. I can't explain it further than that right now because I don't want to get sidetracked, but maybe we'll do a whole segment on that. Meanwhile, you know, if you just Google it, you can read those details. Or your daughter can Google it for you and read them to you. So thanks, right, Victoria. I'm sure that's not a complete answer, but I don't want to get sidetracked too much on that this morning. This is Steve in Texas. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, Sandy. Just wanted to say to all the veterans, thank you real quick. I know you're pressed for time, but, you know, not to dwell on the whole Electoral College and popular vote. I get it. I'm all for the Electoral College. But those that are saying that Hillary won the popular vote, just some quick math on that real quick. They say that as of about 4 years ago, I guess, there was 11 or 10 million illegal aliens in the United States. I'm sure it's probably more like 15 million now. But even if you use a conservative number of 10 million saying it stayed the same, they say that out of the illegal aliens that are in here, about 6% of them vote. So if you do the math on that, that comes up to, I don't know, whatever it was, but then you take that and they say 80% of those wind up voting for Democrats. So when you take that math and you figure out how the popular vote that Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton had, actually Donald Trump won the popular vote as well when you roll out the illegal alien vote.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point, Steve. Thank you for making that point. I want to end the program today with a couple of things. Yesterday we had a call from Yeoman. I don't have time to do this justice. Yeoman is a farmer in Western Iowa, and he doesn't believe in using guns. And we got into quite a discussion, and I just want to read a couple of comments because there's some really good ones. This is from Ann. She is a police officer. She said, this morning a gentleman called to rebuke anyone who would carry protection or defend themselves against violence as not having trust in God. And she says, I am against murder, but I recognize a need for battle and war and for defense of self and others. I also recognize that God requires different sacrifices and jobs of each person. There are some people that God calls to lay down their life without a fight, and those are martyrs. And there are some people that God calls to fight for him. And there are people that God calls them to fight at times and to not fight at other times. As a police officer, I'm generally called to fight to defend the innocent, but there are instances in my life where God has asked me not to defend myself because God knew that in that particular moment, not fighting gave a more probable chance of a man changing his heart. She says, God calls for balance in our lives, to work hard, but also to take time to play and rest, to save money, but also give it, sometimes to give all you have, sometimes to fight and sometimes to lay down, to speak with boldness and also to stand in silence, as Jesus spoke boldly to the Pharisees, but would be quiet at times or even avoid running into the Pharisees because he knew his time was not at hand. So I do not belittle or diminish one man's calling to lay down the sword, but that man must not judge those who God has called to fight as being wrong or having no faith. This is not for one man to say, it's only for God to say. This is from Scott. He said, there would be no movie about a man that would not carry a weapon in war if he did not have thousands of fellow soldiers around him who were armed. And I could go on. The comments are wonderful. Look on the Facebook page and you can read many of the others and engage in dialogue. This is how we learn. Iron sharpens iron. It's Sandy Rios in the Morning. That's the Facebook page. It's great to hear from you. This has been quite a week, hasn't it? And so we go into this Sunday with an attitude of humility and worship and asking God, what is the next step for us as believers? How shall we steward this new breath of freedom that we have experienced this week? This is Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.